is Power FM. The music taking me high. Wake up with Brad and Hunty.
There's not too many 90-year-olds who get people climbing all over them when they mark...
Whoa, after, what, special pill or something?
On their 90th birthday, but, of course, on the weekend, the Sydney Harbour Bridge notched up 90 years. They had some pretty big celebrations there in Sydney.
Sydney wound back the clock to the 1930s. Penny farthings, paper boys and vintage ferries, marking the 90 years she stood watch over our city.
Yeah, if you were there on the weekend, amazing. You would have seen old Model T Fords and other classic cars going across the bridge, the penny farthing bikes. Everyone talking like this for some reason. That's how we talked back then.
Old-timey radio.
That's right. So, yeah, 90 years on what is the most... I would say, arguably, the most iconic bridge in the world. And we really cling to it as a landmark because what else do we have? Like, you look at other countries like France, Eiffel Tower.
Yep.
Impressive.
Mm-hmm.
You go to Italy, in Rome, they've got the ancient Colosseums. Amazing. Where gladiators did battle. What do we got? The bridge.
Where people do battle every morning to get to work.
That's right. And we have visitors here and they're like, oh, just a bridge. Well, we've got an opera house.
Over there that's hard to get to.
It's kind of weird looking. But no, they are our iconic landmarks. And, of course, here on the far south coast, we have a very special tie to the bridge because a lot of the stone that was used, I think the granite used in the construction of the bridge, was quarried in Maruya. So that's a nice little touch. Obviously a lot of people there were there on the weekend to mark the 90th birthday. But, you know, it didn't have the best start, the bridge. It took a while to construct and
that's true.
Some people didn't quite make it to the opening. But when they had the grand opening, you know, normally when you have like a ribbon cutting ceremony, they have the officials there with a giant pair of scissors.
Yep.
The opening of the Sydney Harbour Bridge was absolutely amazing. Have a listen.
At the grand opening in 1932, there was a gatecrasher, Francis de Groot, bolting in and slashing the ribbon with his sword, stealing the thunder from then Premier Jack Lang.
Like a pirate.
Old mates just see the Premier with a giant pair of scissors. We'll see about that. Hand me my sword and bring me my horse. So he rides in. You know, these days we get guys on horseback like protesting at anti-mask rallies. In those days, they were waving swords about opening bridges.
Imagine the papers. A dastardly man spoils inaugural event.
Of course, over the years, there's been many different things held in the on the bridge. They had that big picnic.
Yep.
I remember just over 10 years ago, they closed the bridge down. Everyone sat down for a picnic during the 2000 Olympics. The marathon was run across the bridge.
Yeah, I think there was Australia got announced with a Formula One event.
That's
and
right,
Mark Webber was driving across the bridge.
Did some circle work on the Sydney Harbour Bridge. It's also had some other unusual occurrences over the years, the Sydney Harbour Bridge.
During World War II, they armed the pylons with machine guns, which were also used to house troops. Years later, a family of cats moved into the lookout.
Safest spot as any.
I love that. Like, and we once had cats living there. That's our. Is this what they talk about when you do the bridge climb? It's like, and over there you'll see where the machine guns were. And we had some cats living over there. They run out of things to talk about. The rest of the climb is just, you know, completely silent. So, yeah, it's had many different things happen over the 90 years, but happy birthday to the Sydney Harbour Bridge. These days, yeah, we'd celebrate with daily traffic jams and once a year we try to blow it up with fireworks. A lot of people have the Netflix app installed on their phones or tablets or the Amazon app or the Disney Plus app. There's so many apps where you can stream stuff onto now.
Yeah.
If you pay for the subscription, of course.
I realised I was analog in a digital world when I went to radio school in, I think, 2015 up in Sydney, and everyone was talking about Netflix when it was really starting to hit its peak. And then all of a sudden Stan was a new thing. And I'm like, tell me more of this streaming service. They're like, oh, it's basically like you can just watch whatever you want online. I'm like, what, like a YouTube?
Such a weird name for a streaming service as well. You're naming it after a guy who sounds like the groundskeeper at the local school or something.
Yeah, Stan.
They're going to call it Stan.
Stan.
Why?
Exactly right. But now it's, oh my God, like back then, 6 years ago or so, you had Netflix, you had Stan. That was just about it for a little while. And then all of a sudden, everything just exploded from there. Your Paramount Plus is one of the latest ones now.
Mm.
Disney, Apple TV, HBO Max. It's just through the roof.
Yet another reason why I don't like driving anywhere, because I've blown all my money on subscriptions, yeah, streaming services. Yeah, we've got at home, we've got Foxtel, Netflix, and Amazon. But Amazon's more of a, so I can buy like CDs from them. So
I have to confess, I did put a post up last night asking if people are sharers or moochers. For the most part, I'm definitely a moocher.
So whose password do you have to what service?
Okay, so at home, we pay for Netflix and KO.
Right.
But on the TV, I've got Netflix, KO, Binge, Disney, Amazon, and Stan.
So who's giving you the passwords to these?
Cousins, aunties.
Ah.
Mostly it's just people that are in your tight-knit family, because obviously if you're doing this, you're giving away your email address and password. You don't want to be just doing that to any random person. So
that's true.
These are people I definitely can trust in the family.
Because once they have your password, they can get in there and then change that password if they felt like it.
And they can just subscribe to, they can pay $50 for the crappy-looking boxing match between Sonny B. Williams and Barry Hall on Wednesday if they want to, just for the click of a button. Like,
see, I don't know anyone in my family or amongst my friends that pay for Disney Plus. That's the one I want. We should, you know, they have the buy, swap, sell pages on Facebook. We should set up password pages so we can share passwords. If anyone wants to share their premium Disney Plus,
I'll trade you a Netflix password for a Disney password.
Cool.
Oh, I think maybe the Netflix is worth a Disney and an Apple Plus. You start to like trade around like that, up and down.
But okay. So you're mooching off a few people by the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Are you sharing your passwords to other things with other people though?
Yeah.
Oh, so you're a sharer and a moocher.
Yeah. Mostly, I'm about a 70% mooch, 30% share. Because like I said, I only pay for two and I've shared both of those, but then I'm getting ones that other people have shared to me.
Do you fall into either of those categories, the sharer or the moocher category? Maybe you're both like Hutsy. Call us, 1-300-92-1250.
Dive from Naruma has called up. Which one are you, sharer or a moocher?
I'm a sharer.
Oh, so you give your password to friends and family?
To my two adult children have got it. And my mum used to have it when she was alive too. You know, the poor kids spend enough on rent and fuel and all that sort of stuff, so the least I can do is share my stuff with them.
Oh, you're a good mum. Because my dad would be like, you're old enough to look after yourself. Get your own Netflix subscription.
I know, that's what all my brothers tell me too. And my father tells me, defend for themselves.
Yeah, you just got to make sure they have their own profile though. There's nothing worse than when someone watches something under your profile and then messes up your whole algorithm of shows that's recommended for you.
I know, and that's the only stipulation I have is that they have their own profile and they don't go into mine.
Yeah, don't jump onto my profile and watch Bridgerton because it'll throw everything out of whack.
That's right.
Awesome, Di. Well, thanks for chatting with us this morning.
No worries at all. Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
I tell you what, food researchers have got some of the best jobs in the world. You know, one minute they're doing studies on how good avocados are for you, then they're saying, oh, no, they're no good for you. I think it just fluctuates with the market. All of a sudden they get a phone call and it's like, well, when do you start pushing avocados again? They're like, yep, no worries. The health tick goes back on.
Yeah. You don't really see ads for certain food types anymore. Remember, like, mushrooms, the great all-rounder. And all of a sudden you'd be like, who's pushing mushrooms?
Yeah. I remember there was ads in, like, the late 1990s pushing butter again because everyone was on the margarine.
Oh, that's
to try
right.
and get
yeah,
butter
yeah.
back, you know, where it's supposed to be and everything. But you always see these stories come out. One minute bread's really good for you. Then it's like, oh, you can't have too much bread because it's bad for you. The wine one always turns up. It's always like a glass of wine a day is okay. That's all. Maybe not. It's okay.
Coffee's the same.
Coffee's exactly the same. But eggs is the latest one in the spotlight from the University of South Australia researchers. They said there's been a bit of a tumultuous relationship with eggs over the years. One minute, you know, they're good. Next minute, they're bad because they're a strange sort of food because they're high in cholesterol. And also they're high in saturated fat as well.
I remember I avoided eggs for a while because my nan got told by her doctor to get eggs out of her diet because she had a high cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, but Rocky's knocking back six raw ones during his training.
Exactly.
Surely
right.
they must be good for you, you know?
Has anyone seen the last couple of years? How's he going? Is he on a ventilator or something? But now, finally, an experiment to try and determine. Ooh.
The study will compare three different diets over several months. For 5 weeks, participants will eat a high egg diet. For the next five, they'll eat no eggs at all and foods with high saturated fat. Finally, they'll eat the typical Australian diet, which is high in cholesterol and saturated fat, for 5 weeks.
A typical Australian diet. Is there a meat pie in there as well? I don't know. How does that one sort of work out? But they're trying to like debunk the myths and things and maybe disprove or prove exactly how good eggs are or aren't for you after each of the trials, after each 5 weeks of the trial, of each trial, basically they measure your cholesterol, blood pressure, all that sort of stuff, your size, so if you've gained any weight, height, all that sort of stuff.
When I lost a lot of weight, I was eating like an omelette like each morning for breakfast. I cook them up the night before, split them in half, and I'd have like a nice omelette.
Yeah.
I didn't seem to do me any harm, but maybe it is. I don't know.
I think it's more the flatulence that you get from all the eggs.
Oh, okay.
I think it's maybe one of the big things as well, but
maybe
it's okay.
Maybe I'll just switch to Cadbury cream eggs. Just be happy. They're good for you, aren't they, I assume?
Egg, cream, all good. Oh. But it looks like they'll be paying you quite well, though, if you want to, you know, take up in this study. Turns out around $1,200.
Researchers are currently scrambling to find more participants. They're on the hunt for any 18 to 60-year-old non-smoker with healthy cholesterol levels to take part. It's worth considering as each successful applicant will receive $1,200.
I'll sign up for this.
Not too bad. So they reckon probably about $600 in pocket after you pay for the food, because that comes out of your own, out of your $1,200.
Oh, you got to pay for your own eggs? Yeah. Outrageous.
I know. So yeah, once you look at that, it's maybe not, but you know, there's some people that probably need the money out there. I just want to, you have to be very careful the way you sell it, because if you tell your friends you're on this brand new diet, which involves a carton a day, they might get the wrong idea, if you know what I mean.
Brad and Hutsy, weekday 6 to 9, Power FM.